So what did you do all day?
Typical day, you'd come in and develop the photograph. You've been leaving game all night.
Yeah.
Look at it, blast, no changes. Well, you could dry it, take a couple of hours, compare it by, no changes. Right, bang up the concentration. So you get the reagent, put up by a factor of 10, 100, make a series of reactions, and leave the crystal soaking. What you might be doing is measuring native data, or data that you knew you were going to use, and that meant putting the photographs, which have been very carefully developed and fixed, on a little chart, and go along, and the chart would come out with these peaks, and that you just called a joist bevel density tomography. I'd spend hours and ages measuring films, indexing them as one came off. I'd be indexing one that had just been done, and making these into piles. Mm. And then these piles of things would go down, and you would help, and be a technician. If there weren't a technician, it was Eleanor, often as anybody, who would just take these numbers and indices and put them into lists, so you had all the intensities and their indices. And after, then you'd measure them several times. So you have all these numbers. You'd spend all your day just doing these numbers, scaling them, multiplying them, all by slide rule, or perhaps a little facet hand calculator, to get a series of intensities at the end, which is an average of four or three films. And then you take those data, you combine them with another data set, if it was a heavy atom derivative, and look for a heavy atom in a Patterson. And then these patterns would be calculated. Well, that was a long time. Out would come the numbers from the old KDF9. God. Eleanor will remember, actually, better than me, because she went straight into it. We used a thing called AutoCAD, and you had to write these programs to calculate the patterns. Then all the numbers would come off on a tape. And we actually learned to read the tape, that there were machines that would print it off.
Mm.
And because the rhombetal space group being what it was, you couldn't print it off in a machine, because it was a 60-degree angle, 120-degree angle, so we had to draw them on our own hand-drawn lattices. All these were traced up, numbers drawn out, contour, traced up, and you pulled your maps up and look for features. So the day was spent looking at photographs, measuring photographs, doing arithmetic on numbers, scaling, punching the data into the machine, putting the machine calculations in, taking the output, writing it out onto paper. So that's how it's been. And yeah. Just pencil work.
And it went day after day after day without anything
day
interesting
after
coming out.
No, that's right.
I mean, did you mutter among yourselves as to whether it might not be more useful to
try
something else?
No, I knew in an almost ill-informed way that there was nothing I could be doing to be more useful or important than work on insulin. I mean, diabetes, just straight away.
Mm-hmm.
And the method of solving these proteins, particularly one of the difficult space group characteristics as rhombohedral, were important. And if we got them sorted out, they would be general, and I knew nobody else was working on this sort of problem. So that, you know, we really were doing, I think, technically very important crystallography. And in the long term, that structure had to be important biochemically and medically.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't lose. Mm-hmm. The question was, how long did you wait? And this is where Dorothy gets straight marks, because she somehow generated enormous confidence that it would come out. Sure, it wasn't going to be next year or the year after, but it would come out. And she never sat down and said it's going to come out. She just never communicated anything else but a careful certainty. It was going to come out. Look at that. The whole way one looked at the structures and the maps, and all which were failures. One that sooner or later things would come right, and she was just unfailingly optimistic. And that was, of course, typical of Max Prutz as well, who actually did go through bad periods. And he told me that Dorothy really encouraged him through some very black moments. And I don't know if anybody has encouraged Dorothy. There may have been people, but I don't know who they were. We were disappointed more than once when maps that we were hopeful would be interpreted, the two maps that were not interpretable. She was disappointed, but she was never down. And we just, more derivatives. No, actually, by that stage, we knew it was going to come out. It was just improving the technology, and that the way to do that was coming obvious. So I think that's something that was not unique to Dorothy, because I think a lot of people stimulated and lifted their lads. What was interesting to me about Dorothy, it was so pervasive. She didn't march up and down with flags. It was just something in her own attitude and confidence and optimism about the problems that was picked up by everyone. It's interesting, probably the most intelligent person working on the problem was Marjorie, and she was not persuaded because she was smart enough to realise the problem. Now, Dorothy was smart enough too, but she had been through cholesterol, she'd been through penicillin, and she'd been through B12. She knew about solving impossible problems. She had that experience that Marjorie didn't have.